It's like so many other things that have happened amongst America's wars. This article says that the Pentagon has begun preparing for options for an assault on the Islamic State because of the gruesome video showing the beheading of photojournalist James Foley. Now, not only was the video a fraud, but the killing of one American is not a justification for engaging in a bombing spree in a country that is unrelated to his killing, Syria. It is like the justification for the Spanish-American War with the sinking of the Maine. It's like the justification for World War I with the sinking of the Lusitania. It's like the justification for the Vietnam War with the Gulf of Tonkin incidents, like the justification for the invasion of Afghanistan with the illusion that somehow Afghanis were involved in 9/11. It's like the justification of invading Iraq with the weapons of mass destruction. It's like the justification for all of the things that America has done. They all lies. We act now on lies. We overreact. It's even like the bombing of Pearl Harbor in a relationship. If you want to compare the 3,000 military who were killed in Pearl Harbor because America was not only unprepared, ignorant as it relates to the intent of Japan, even though it should have been prepared, even though it lined up its fleet so as to make its sailors easy victims, easy targets, even though it ignored the radar information of the incoming waves of fighters, even though it did all of the things that made the attack easy and made its own sailors vulnerable and thus was responsible, contributed to their death. If you look at sacrificing hundreds of thousands of American lives to avenge the death of 3,000, you're back right now to risking American lives to bomb Syria because of the death of one American. Disproportionate response is no different than a response based on lies. Both are immoral. Both are irrational. Both are illogical. Both are counterproductive. And that's what we're doing. We can't prevail against Islam using bullets and bombs. We've tried. We tried in Afghanistan. It didn't work. We tried in Iraq. It didn't work. We tried in Libya. It didn't work. It won't work anywhere. By dropping bombs on them and by shooting them, we simply spread the disease. It is what has always happened. It is what will continue to happen. Responding stupidly, immorally, unjustly, ignorantly, irrationally, is worse than doing nothing. Now, there are things we can do. We've talked about the 7 steps that America could take to end the threat of Islamic terrorism almost immediately. But unfortunately, the United States and the world won't do any of those 7 things, much less all of them. But responding militarily is counterproductive. The U.S. military hasn't a clue. They cannot and will not prevail. Now, I will wager the entire salary that I'm paid for this show if I'm wrong. Now, mind you, I'm not paid anything to do this show, but nonetheless, I'll lay it on the line. As a matter of fact, if the Islamic State can be done away with, I'll stop doing this show and say, you know, I am just not able to understand how the past influences the future. Yes, Scott?
I was going to say, that's a horrible wager. You're not going to lose anything. That's not a wager.
I changed it, though. I said, I stopped doing the show.
Well, okay.
If I'm proven wrong and the United States can bomb Islamic State into oblivion, as they are trying to conceive a plan to do, I'll just stop doing the show. I'll say, you know, I am so out of touch with scriptural prophecy, so out of touch with Islam, so out of touch with an understanding of our military capability, so out of touch with reality today and reality yesterday, that if I'm wrong, I'll just stop doing the show and say, you know, I'm not qualified to be speaking against the U.S. military or against the Islamic State, because I obviously have misread the past and how the past will influence the future. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think we will bomb. While it is unclear how soon strikes may be launched, Obama's go-ahead for aerial reconnaissance over Syria has raised expectations that it will approve the attacks. It's already approved the attacks, rather than back off as he did last year after threatening to strike Syrian Bashar al-Assad's forces. Any air offensive would likely focus on the Islamic State's leadership and positions around the city of Raqqa in their stronghold of eastern Syria and the border areas that have served as staging grounds for Islamist forces that have swept into Iraq. Yeah, why don't we just go and bomb the city of Raqqa? I'm sure that we could justify killing everybody there. But every option carries significant risk. There are all kinds of downsides and risks that suggest airstrikes in Syria are probably not a great idea, said Aaron David Miller, a former Middle East advisor to both Republican and Democratic administrations. Boy, we just have these guys that have become the advisors that just turn up everywhere. But that doesn't mean that they won't happen anyway. Yeah, he's right there. There are all sorts of downsides. There is no upside. And the fact that there is no chance of winning and that we're re-engaging in a lose-lose game doesn't mean that they won't happen. There are no rational people in the U.S. government or in the Pentagon. Efforts to hit the right targets in Syria will be more difficult than in Iraq, hindered by a shortage of reliable on-the-ground intelligence in contrast to northern Iraq, where Iraqi and Kurdish forces provided intelligence. You know, that is a lie. The Iraqi government provided absolutely no intelligence. Every time the Iraqi's government came out and there was Baghdad Bob and his speeches about what was taking place, he was such a laughingstock. Everything he said was make-believe that they finally stopped airing him. And then with the Kurds, it was the Kurds that said, the sky is falling. Oh, there's hundreds of thousands of Zoroastrians that are being genocide, you know, victims. And that the United States needs to engage, needs to send in the troops to save the Zoroastrians, needs to arm us because we're the only ones that can prevail against these Sunni jihadists. And everything they said turned out to be a lie. We were made to play the role of a fool. There is no intelligence that is being provided by either of those entities. And for the media to pretend that there is shows that what we have working for major periodicals in America is ignoramuses. They have simply provided propaganda that has manipulated the United States into providing the Shias and the Kurds with more weapons. U.S.-backed moderate rebels. You know, why do they say there's a moderate rebel? I mean, you think about that for a moment. The agnostics, the intellectuals in Syria are 100%, without exception, aligned with Assad. They know that if the fundamentalist Islamic Sunni Mujahideen take over the country, they're all dead. The Christians are all aligned with Assad. They know that should Assad fall and the Mujahideen prevail, they're all dead. They've witnessed what happened in Iraq. 1.3 million Christians down to zero. There are no moderate rebels. Never have been. It's a complete myth, a total fabrication by the likes of John McClown and others. Even the President of the United States has finally come to the conclusion that it is a fabrication, that it's simply false hope. There is no such thing. There will never be such a thing. Those Muslims who pick up weapons to fight as jihadists for groups like al-Nusra and the Islamic State are fundamentalists. There's nothing moderate about them. The Quran itself says that it's impossible to be a moderate Muslim. I mean, the problem here with the media, the problem here with politicians, the problem here with the military in promoting this myth of moderate Muslims, rebels, is that they've never read the Quran. Read the first nine surahs. The ninth surah plainly states that it's impossible to be a peaceful Muslim. It's impossible to be a moderate Muslim. Now, if the Quran's definition of what is and isn't possible in the religion is invalid, then the entire religion is invalid. And then you've left with nothing. The reality is really simple here. The Quran says there can be no peaceful, no moderate Muslims. That good jihadist Muslims are ordered to hunt them down and kill them because Allah hates them. And that once they are killed by good jihadist Muslims, that Allah is going to personally attend to their torture in the hottest places of hell. That's what the Quran says about these people. Not my opinion. This is the essence of the religion. So here it says, the U.S.-backed moderate rebels who could provide intelligence in Syria have yet to coalesce into a potent fighting force. It's not that they haven't coalesced. It's not that they're not a potent fighting force. It's that they don't exist. It is unclear, for instance, if they can provide forward spotters needed to help guide any airstrikes in territory held by the Islamic State. Well, it doesn't really, it's not unclear. They don't exist. Syria's Russian-built air defense system is another concern. It remains largely intact, more than 3 years into the country's civil war. What they didn't say here, yes, it is largely intact, but it's never been designed to stave off a war brought over the east, but instead from the south and from the west. Yes, there are all kinds of downsides and risks. And the fact is that airstrikes against Syria are a bad idea. There is the fact that Assad will benefit from it. And the United States looks like a multi-headed goonie bird when it begins to bomb the very militants that it armed to overthrow Assad on Assad's behalf. And there is no way to bomb the Islamic State without aiding and abetting Assad or destroying the very weapons that America provided. You know, when you start using your military to destroy your military's weapons, when you start using your military on behalf of your avowed enemy and on behalf of your stated foe against your ally, at that point, you're looking pretty hypocritical. There's no sanity left in your defense military operations. You know, flying aircraft over Syria is very different than Iraq, Eric Thompson, senior strategic study analyst for the Center for Naval Analysis, which addresses U.S. military operations as part of the CNA Corporation think tank in Virginia. Boy, we have a lot of those, don't we? You know, the biggest of them now, besides the NSA, is the National Ground Intelligence Center, which we continue to increase its capacity. It's just north of Charlottesville, Virginia, by leaps and bounds. You know, it exists as a targeting facility for the U.S. Army. I mean, it exists to isolate the people and places that America should bomb around the world. What a wonderful job. Boy, what do you do for a living? Oh, I work on providing the U.S. military with information that it can use to kill people. That's what I do. I'm really proud of it. But they're clueless. there are more, you know, I know more about the Islamic State than the rest of the U.S. intelligence operations combined. That's because they know nothing of Islam, and I understand Islam. And the Islamic State is nothing more than an expression of Islam. There are more sophisticated air defenses, some in the hands of the Islamic State, this individual said. It is interesting. He actually said ISIS. And the reason people want to cling to ISIS is that they can say ISIS without saying Islam. And ISIS sounds like the name of an organization when it's nothing but an acronym. But it's no longer ISIS. It's not ISIS with the group itself. It's not ISIS amongst Muslims around the world. It, what it means is that we know that when the name Islamic State is used, there's no way of effectively creating a disunion between Islam and the state of affairs. That's one and the same. And so the president doesn't want to use the term. Media doesn't want to use the term. The consultants don't want to use the term. But it's the only relevant term. A recent report, Small Arms Survey, an independent research group based in Geneva, detailed a range of shoulder-launched missile systems in the hands of the Islamic State, known as MANPAD, M-A-N-P-A-D, or Man-Portable Air Defense Systems. Some were apparently stolen from government stockpiles, where others were supplied from outside sources in other countries. Yeah, they were supplied via Qatar from the United States. The Pentagon has publicly conceded that it has less than perfect information about the movements and capabilities of the Islamic State fighters. Less than perfect information. Well, first of all, even if they were the finest intelligence organization in the world, and they're not, you would always have less than perfect information. A limitation reflected in a failed attempt by U.S. Special Forces to rescue Foley in July. Intelligence gaps raise the risk of civilian casualties. Ah, don't just raise the risk, they guarantee them. You know, there's almost a million Iraqis killed as a result of the U.S. invasion. And that the wide range of air power at Obama's disposal, including missiles fired from warships or at sea, is just going to exacerbate the problem, particularly when the Mujahideen do as they do in Gaza and deliberately intermingle with the civilian population. They aren't going to be sitting out there in the desert in weapons of war saying, shoot me. No, if you're going to shoot and kill them, you're going to take out thousands upon thousands of civilians. We condemned Israel for that. And now we're going to do it. On Face the Nation, two Republican congressmen said that the actions by the Islamic State, and they used ISIL and ISIS, requires a quick and forceful U.S. response, including airstrikes. The top Democrat on the House Armed Committee warned that the region's geopolitical politics mean that the first step must be to build support for defeating the group. But how do you do that? This is a religious war. I mean, this is entirely a religious war. At this point, the Islamic State, while it was conceived initially to kill crusaders, the American invaders to Iraq. That's how it was conceived. Once Americans left Iraq, and there are no Americans in Syria other than photojournalists, it ceased to be a crusader-motivated organization. It turned its attention against the Shias that America had armed and empowered in concert with Iran in Iraq. And so its entire existence for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years has been in opposition to Shias, and they have deployed all of their resources against Shias. Now, since their their emergence out of the Syrian religious war, which is a Sunni Shia war in its entirety. They have gone against the Christians in Mosul. They've gone against the Zoroastrians in the north, but they've mostly gone against Shia Muslims. And so you have an organization now that exists to fight a religious war and gain control over large swaths of territory and manage that territory. That's who the Islamic State is. And so when you're trying to deal with them, you don't want an alliance of the nation's geopolitical leaders, but you have to decide, are you going to fight on behalf of Shia Islam, which means you're fighting on behalf of Iran? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take what is arguably the most lethal nation in the Islamic world, vis-a-vis the United States and Israel? Are you willing to go to war on behalf of Iran and Shia Islam against the Sunni Mujahideen that represent, that comprise the Islamic State? Are you willing to do that? Because that's what's going to happen. If we continue to invest resources, we just send another 350 boots into Iraq. Now, 5,000 American diplomats and CIA, which are quasi-military, plus now some 1,500 actual troops in Iraq. So, for them to be in opposition to the Islamic State, they are in alliance with Iran. We've chosen sides. Shia versus Sunni. And now America is on the side of the Shia. So the only nation that America can be politically aligned with is Iran and Iran's new Western territory, Iraq. Because Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Turkey, Egypt are resolutely Sunni. Now, it's true that the Sunni warlords that control those countries are threatened by the Islamic State. They have rooted for the Islamic State. They have aided and abetted the Islamic State, but they're also threatened by them because of the fact that while they share the same view of the Islamic religion, they don't share the same view as to who should be in charge. And so there are concerns, but you're not going to get the Saudi Arabians, for example, to deploy their military, killing the very people that they sought to arm. And the Saudi Arabians sought to arm the Islamic State because of the rise of influence of Iran and Shia Islam as a result of the American invasion of Iraq. And so they're responsible for this proxy religious war. They're not going to fight on the side of Iran. They hate Iran. Turkey's not going to fight on the side of Iran. They hate Iran. So who in the world are we going to ally with in that region? I mean, it just shows that the congressmen and administration in Washington are absolutely clueless as to what's happening here. We do not want to come into Syria on the side of Assad. We have got to find other folks, the Free Syria Movement, to work with, said Representative Adam Smith, a Democrat from Washington, in an interview with CBS's Face the Nation. Say what? I mean, there is no way, pal, to not aid and abet Assad and to be fighting on the side of Assad if you are fighting to kill his most formidable foe. It's totally mythical. And then for you to say, you know, that what we're going to do is we're going to ally with the Free Syria Movement when there is no such thing. is now to move into the realm of fantasy. And you don't deploy troops. You don't engage in a military invasion and bombing mission on behalf of fantasy. So we did that in Libya. Look what happened. He went on to say, if we go in and appear to be choosing whether Assad's side or the Shia side in a civil war, then we simply drive more Sunnis into the arms of ISIS. Yeah, if we go out and say that we're going to engage in a religious war on behalf of the Shias against the Sunnis, what we do is we motivate more Sunnis to ally with the Islamic State against a new enemy, one that chose to go to war with them, the United States. And what we need to recognize here is that in the battle between Shia and Sunni Islam, there is no equality. While the United States artificially elevated the influence of Iran and Shia Islam through its invasion of Iraq, giving Iraq to Iran, and therefore Syria to Iran, and therefore influence in Lebanon to Iran, is now Iran control all that swath of territory because of the American invasion, where we deposed Iran's principal enemy, just literally giving the country to the Iranians. When we did that, we artificially elevated the influence of Shia Islam. Shia Muslims are outmanned 4-1 worldwide, 3-1 in the Middle East. That's a decided difference in terms of manpower, particularly when people fight so savagely hand-to-hand, which is the Muslim way. They're outnumbered 3-1 in that region, 4-1 worldwide. And second, because of the American propensity to supply hundreds of billions of dollars of weapons to the Sunni fiefdoms, particularly Qatar, but also Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, because of the American military influence in terms of weapon sales to these countries, the Shias are outgunned more than 10-1. So they're outgunned 10-1. They're outmanned 4-1. It's no way that the Shias can prevail. And yet the United States has chosen to ally with the Shias to fight the Sunnis. We've chosen the losing side. In a war where there are no good sides, there's no lesser of two evils here between Sunni and Shia Islam. And the side we have chosen will lose. There is no chance whatsoever that Shias are going to prevail over Sunnis. None. They're outnumbered. They're outgunned. And should America engage, which I think America will, on behalf of Shias against Sunnis, which will be the second time because America's invasion of Iraq empowered Shias over Sunnis, and that the American weapon supplies to Iraq, which is now a Sunni or a Shia military, had such a horrible influence in that region. America is going to be seen as the primary enemy of the most universally accepted form of Islam, Sunni Islam. And you need to even understand what Sunni means. Sunni is a derivation of Sunnah. And if you don't know what Sunnah is, you know, you really ought to be careful in even trying to form opinions about what's occurring here. Sunnah is the example of Muhammad. That's what Sunnah is. The religion of Islam is based almost entirely on Sunnah, Muhammad's example. Muhammad's example, his Sunnah, is presented in only one place, the Islamic Hadith. And when you read about Muhammad's example, his words and deeds, as they are presented in the Sunnah, in the Hadith, what you find is that he was a ruthless terrorist. Led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. That he decapitated his foes. That he endorsed crucifixion. That he endorsed terrorism. That he endorsed kidnapping for ransom. They endorsed the enslavement of women and children. That he encouraged and participated in rape, robbery, plunder. What you're witnessing the Islamic State do, what you're witnessing Boko Haram do, what you're witnessing the Taliban accomplish, is exactly what Muhammad did. And so, since Sunni Muslims are based entirely on Sunnah, and the Sunnah is based entirely on Muhammad, and Muhammad was entirely repulsive, you know the result. This Democratic congressman who is living in a world that does not actually exist, that is, it's kind of like the U.S. political position that we're going to continue to arm and send troops to and drop bombs on behalf of the Iraq government with the condition that the Iraq government form an inclusive government that includes Shia, Sunnis, and Kurds, when in fact that we are arming all three sides to fight against each other, when it has never happened and will never happen. Same kind of just grotesque ignorance amongst the elected officials in U.S. Congress. Smith said that the U.S. first needs to make sure that moderate Sunnis oppose ISIS. But there are no moderate Sunnis. And Sunnis comprise ISIS, the Islamic State. So how do you make sure of something that is impossible? And this notion of moderate Islam is just so grotesque. It's so inconsistent with the Quran. It's so inconsistent with what we've witnessed around the world. Every time there's a vote in the Islamic world, the most fundamentalist Islamic candidate prevails. Very seldom do moderate run. And if they do run, they win so few votes as to be irrelevant. You actually can't be an outspoken moderate Muslim and have any influence, because good Muslims know that the Quran demeans that position, that the Quran's ninth surah was written specifically to condemn those Muslims who were unwilling to follow Muhammad across the desert to attack and kill and rob Byzantine Christians. They had been with him so long as he wanted to attack easy prey, the unarmed Meccans or the unarmed Jews. So long as he went against farming communities or traders who had no army, his mujahideen were absolutely willing to play the role of jihadist, kill the men, rape the women, enslave the children, rob those communities of their possessions. That was a fun game. They liked that game. But then when Muhammad overhunted Meccans and Jews, his only means to continue the pirate lifestyle, if you will, a land-born pirate, was to find new prey. And the only prey within camel's ride was the outskirts of the Byzantine kingdom. And so the vast preponderance of the first Muslims rebelled and said, no, we're not going to go off and cross the desert and raid a community that actually has an army that can protect it. We're not going to do it. And so Muhammad released a surah, the ninth, the second to last of the Quran's surahs, specifically addressing Muslims who were unwilling to fight jihad, saying that the peaceful Muslims, those Muslims who did not want to engage in killing and enslaving and raping and kidnapping and thievery ceased to be Muslims. They were called hypocrites. And the good jihadist Muslims were ordered to hunt them down, to terrorize them, to murder them, so that Allah could torture them in hell. It is impossible to be a moderate Sunni. It's impossible. Read the damn Quran, Smith. Surely you can find a copy. No Muslim can oppose jihad vocally and live through it. And here it says, he's saying that ISIS, as opposed to the Islamic State, represents a much more radical strain of Sunni Islam. No, they don't. There is just Sunni Islam. There's Shia Islam, there's Sunni Islam. They read from exactly the same Quran and Hadith. The only difference is who's in control. And there is no more radical strain. Now, that's going to require, he says, building a coalition in the Middle East. Who are you going to coalesce with? You're fighting Sunnis on behalf of Shias. The only partner are Assad and the mullahs in Tehran. Do you want America to go to war on behalf of those countries? And he says, but that would include finding potential allies like Turkey and Saudi Arabia that have been funding militant groups like ISIS and al-Nusra. And so are they going to cut off their own hand? I don't think so.